Okay, welcome to the Catholic Sportsman Show. My name is Paul Michelini, along with my co-host, Randy Lea, and we are very excited to talk today to Father John Henry Hansen from St. Michael's Abbey about his new book. But before we get started, we are going to begin with a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who didst instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may come to be truly wise, forever to rejoice in his consolation, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Mary, seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Father, for starting off the right way, the beautiful prayer. And just to introduce you to our listeners, Father John Henry Hansen is a priest at St. Michael's Abbey here in Orange County, where Randy and I also live. And we are all blessed to be able to visit St. Michael's Abbey. And Father John Henry just recently wrote a book, which we're going to discuss more here in detail, by on Jose Maria Escrivá. So we're going to get to all of our questions here. And Father, like, since we are the Catholic Sportsman Show, we were so excited when we saw the word coached in your book title. And we said, that's it. Father qualifies for the Catholic Sportsman Show. So why'd you write a book about Jose Maria Escrivá and coaching?
Very good question. Well, first, I've had a long time interest in St. Jose Maria Escrivá, who was founder of Opus Dei. He was born in 1902 in Barbastro, Spain, and died in Rome in 1975. So he lived a good part of the 20th century. And his personality was very directive, but also very paternal at the same time. And I find that his spirituality is a great compliment to me, because I don't have that same type of personality that he did. And I need his kind of vigor, his motivation, and his encouragement. The publisher that I work with, Scepter Publishers, has a series called Coached By. And so they came up with this concept of having a saint as kind of like a coach. So they started with Coached by Joan of Arc, which I think did very, very well. And the second volume is mine, Coached by Jose Maria Escrivá. And I think they have a new one out called Coached by St. Paul. But the idea of coach and saint, I think, is a very clever one. When I think of a coach, I think of somebody who strategizes and motivates. Strategy and motivation. So you put both those together in a saint, and you have a program for holiness that's ordered, that is realistic, that takes place day by day, and is highly organized. In other words, a coach doesn't expect his players ever to be haphazard in how they approach their position or how they run drills or run a play. They have to be very precise. And the precision is the challenge. And so when they fail to meet the precision, they also need the encouragement of the coach. So you also have the motivation aspect of a coach as found in a saint. So I found both of those elements to be very attractive in presenting a saint, especially like Jose Maria Escrivá, who has, if you do any kind of a video search on him, you'll find hours of footage. And when you see him preach or teach, you're looking at a man who looks like he's standing on a sideline you know, really motivating and encouraging the players on the field. And these players are ordinary Christians, because the whole point of Opus Dei is helping Christians living in the world to become saints, right? It's not for people who live in monasteries like myself, but it's for people who are living in the world and who need to have a real program, who need to have a real strategy for how to live holiness in the world, because you don't have the structures that a monastery has, for instance. So all of those elements I found to be very helpful and conducive in presenting Jose Maria as a coach figure.
Looks like Vince Lombardi too.
Sorry?
He looks like Vince Lombardi.
in a way, yeah.
That's great, Father. Will you please briefly explain Opus Dei and why Jose Maria Escrivá started it?
Yes, that's a very good question. So Saint Jose Maria felt a vocation to be a priest, and at first he wanted to be a Carmelite, but then the Carmelites discerned that that wasn't his calling, but that he should become a diocesan priest. And in the midst of going through the seminary and being ordained, he felt that God was calling him to do something more, that there was some kind of a mission, but he didn't know what it was. And on the Feast of the Guardian Angels in 1928, he received the inspiration to found Opus Dei. And at that point, it didn't have that name. The name in Latin simply means the work of God. So he felt this inspiration, and so it's a charism that he received from God to found an organized way of life in the church for ordinary lay people living in the world, married people, single people, to live lives that are completely dedicated to God's service wherever they are. So if you're a married man, married woman, you make sure that all that you're doing each day has the character of spiritual growth about it, that it's all the material for holiness, right? And it can be something as very simple as taking care of your children, which maybe is not as simple as it sounds. You know, taking care of children, cleaning the house, or going to work and living a life, a professional life, serving God in your chosen profession. And if that seems, I don't know how that sounds to people, but just think of it this way. Think of all of the professional people that you deal with in life, from doctors to auto mechanics to lawyers to whoever, and imagine that they were all intent on serving the Lord, all of them, and are really intent on becoming saints. How would that change the world? You know, how it would change your own experience of these things in a very deep way. But just imagine all these professions, teachers and psychologists and lawyers and doctors, all of them trying to serve the Lord where they are and trying to become saints. And the amount of influence that you can have as a Catholic striving for holiness in your professional life is immense. And we know a number of members of Opus Dei in Orange County who are doing that very thing. And it's just a beautiful thing. It's what the Lord calls us to as Christians, all of us, especially in the Sermon on the Mount. So that's kind of an overview of what Opus Dei does. It's spirit, it's charism.
What a world that would be, right? Like you said, right. Everyone was working to that goal. So there was the concept of work without rest, and there was also a comparison of physical training to discipleship, and it was an excerpt in your book, Father. And congratulations, mm-hmm. by the way, and on just writing the whole book. And thanks. It was just fascinating. I'll read a little section of it.
Yeah,
from your excerpt, it says, "It is the same in physical training or working out. You push through your reps, you sprint with all your might, because if you rest while doing either, you never make any progress." It's only after you spent your energy that rest is in order. And it's so interesting because our trainer says the same exact thing to us. Like, you just really have to go all out.
Yes.
Exercise. And then I think when what he's trying to, you're getting across in your book, is it in your prayer life and your work, it's the same.
Right. So like in exercise, you know, obviously you do have to have a break in between sets, right? You don't just keep going until you drop. But look how organized it is. It's like organized intensity. You're working at increments and you're putting your all into those segments of exertion. You're just pushing yourself and then you're resting so as to be able to do the same thing again in a few minutes. So when you apply that to the spiritual life, and especially the apostolate, which is what I think Jose Maria would apply that to, we give it our all when we're doing the apostolate, which is, well, what is the apostolate? For those who haven't heard that word, apostolate is simply what you do in the world in terms of your job or whatever work you do to serve the Lord and to make him known and loved. Okay, that's apostolate. It's bringing Christ into the world in some way. So working at that with all of your being, with all of your strength, and then taking breaks as we need to in order to recoup energy, to renew ourselves and to refresh. It's like a retreat so that our soul is not depleted, but it is refreshed and renewed with quality recreation, you might say. But the main point of that is that we have to work with a certain intensity that comes straight from the gospel. You know, how many times does our Lord compare his servants to vigilant servants waiting their master's return? And there's an intensity to that imagery where if you're awaiting somebody's return, you're very alert. Your eyes are open. You're preparing. You know, you're really engaged. And our spiritual life, our Christian life, has to have that character about it. You know, we're putting ourselves into it. We're not just, you know, again, being haphazard or sleepwalking through the day, but we're doing everything with great intentionality, right? So that's that. When we speak of working without rest, we're not saying that we never need to actually sleep, but we're saying that we have to work with a certain intentionality, which keeps Christ uppermost in our mind and foremost in our hearts.
Why does a healthy spiritual life require both prayer, work, physical exercise, and emotional well-being?
Those are all of the best things in life. So a healthy spiritual life demands that we also take care of the human element, right? The human part of us, and we are body and soul. So taking care of the body without idolizing the body or turning it into something, you know, other than a component of who we are, is a way of honoring God's creation. And it's also a way actually of keeping good emotional balance. There's a lot of research that points to the fact that good exercise helps brain function and it helps keep our emotions balanced as well. I mean, that's very, very well established, actually. So it might seem like a superfluous thing or an add-on to our lives to do quality exercise, but it's actually for our for the well-being of our whole person, not just the body and keeping it strong, but also for our emotional life and our cognitive life as well. So all of that contributes to whether I feel like praying or not, you know, because sometimes I may not pray because I don't have the energy or I just don't feel the motivation. But if you're doing these other things, it's all going to contribute to your overall spirituality as well. And also going back to Opus Dei, the spirit of Opus Dei, we can use even our exercise as a way of serving God. right? There isn't anything that's off limits, right? There isn't anything that we do that a God says, I don't care about that, or it doesn't, you know, you can do whatever you want in that area of your life. That's not how God sees us. And so to have this kind of spirit of St. Jose Maria is to look at these things as the material for serving God. So I serve God with my body. And that comes straight from St. Paul, you know, glorify God in your body, right? And again, it doesn't mean turning the body into a god or an idol, but treating it with dignity, with respect, and how that will overflow into even your emotional life and your cognitive life. And that also has a great impact on those around you. You know, if you're a happier, more relaxed person, you make people around you a lot happier and more relaxed too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, dovetailing into that, so why is recreation important and how does it help restore us? And is recreation self-indulgent or is it a gift from God?
Well, just like everything, it can become self-indulgent if it's not done well. So what is recreation? Look at the word itself. You know, it's kind of, it has the prefix of re, and then you have creation. So it's like recreating ourselves by putting aside our normal duties to refresh the soul and the body and the mind by doing something that is not for business or that's not for any real practical purpose. But instead, allowing our other strengths, our other, like, the emotions we're not using during the business day, put it that way, or the other strengths we're not using, allowing them to be used and to play, which helps to minimize the amount of strain that we put on ourselves as we do work without rest, because it causes strain, and it's a good strain, and it's a good tension, but we can't live like that all the time in that sense. There's a story that is told from the very ancient church, and this is repeated by St. Thomas Aquinas, that John the Apostle, you may have heard this story before, but John the Apostle, as an old man, has his disciples around him, and they are playing. They're playing some kind of a game. And a man comes up and says, you know, how can you allow your disciples to engage in that kind of playful behavior? And he says, well, do you have a bow and arrow? And he says, yes, I do have a bow and arrow. Okay. What happens if you pull the bow back and keep it there and then keep pulling it and pulling it and pulling it? And he says, well, eventually it will snap. Yes. And that's how human beings are too. If you keep pulling and pulling and pulling and never relaxing, you're going to snap. And so that's a way of very humbly recognizing the fact that we don't have an infinite resource of energy, but we do get depleted as we work. And so we need to do other things which are constructive, which help to restore us, which help to give other, which help to develop our emotions and our mind in a different direction. So like a man might find great recreation in working on his car, right? Well, he likes it because it's working a different part of his brain. It's working other emotions, or he may like to go fishing, or he may have other hobbies, which are still require work, but not the same type of work, right? And it's enjoyable work. It's work that's, you know, it's creative, it's productive, and so forth. So doing those types of things are just a way of restoring us and enabling us to go back to our other work with a renewed spirit and with renewed strength.
Well, thanks for sharing that story, Father. We could probably just do a Catholic sportsman episode on what game they were playing, because that sounds...
I know, right? Exactly. It's in the book.
What are they doing?
Yeah. I have it in the book here, but it doesn't specify what game they were playing, so yeah. Something.
Father, how best do we recharge our spiritual batteries?
That's a very good question. We've just been talking about how to recharge our physical batteries, right? And our kind of our emotional ones. But let me assume those who are listening are not living in a monastery. So that's probably everybody. And think, okay, so I can't go on retreat all the time, obviously, but you can go on retreat once a year, I think, at least. Or you could have one evening a month where you have kind of a spiritual evening where you maybe even invite people over and have like a Bible reading and a discussion and a meditation. Those are things you can do periodically, and Opus Dei has that as a practice of doing that every month and inviting people over to that. But daily, we need to be doing this. We need to be doing something according to our schedule. You know, you may not be able to make the Eucharistic Holy Hour every day, you know, an hour before the Blessed Sacrament, which would be ideal. But if you can spend what time you can at home in prayer, maybe it's just 15 minutes of quiet. That will recharge you in a way that, believe me, God will use that time well. You know, if you give the quality time you have to Him, He will make sure it is maximized. So making that a priority every day, and not, it's, you know, if you want to go back to the example of exercise, it's like you don't leave exercise until, you know, whenever your schedule might allow for it, you have it programmed into your day, you know, because it requires preparation time and cooling off afterward and stretching, and it's kind of a production. But for our spiritual life, we want to make sure that we're setting aside quality time each day, if possible, at the same time each day, so that we're, you know, spending 15 minutes, half hour, reading scripture, praying over it, praying the rosary, certainly, and doing things like that, we have a daily recharge of our spiritual batteries.
And it almost seems like there's no comparison. Like if you can do your spiritual time in prayer in the morning versus late at night, your day goes so much better.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, if you do it in the morning, it's just like amazing.
It changes the whole character of your day, right? Because you're starting off with that level of intentionality, right? It's like I'm consecrating my day to God. And you know at the outset of each day that you're going to be challenged, you're going to suffer, you're going to have unexpected things thrown at you. And so every day you start with that reality. Like this is a day, I don't have any idea what's going to happen today. I have my plans. God might throw my plans out the window. I have to be ready for that, right? Mm-hmm. Like a coach preparing a player, you need to be ready for anything the defense throws at you or the offense throws at you, right? You can't just go by a playbook. You have to have your eyes on what they're doing, what the opponent is doing. So it's like that. Each day you're up and you're not expecting it to be a perfect day. You're not expecting it to be a trouble-free day. You're expecting it to be a mixture of good and bad, of trials and sufferings, but you have to meet all of that with God. You have to be praying your way through it. And so the best way to meet all of that is to begin your day exactly as you said, Paul, with God first and offering the day to Him and asking Him to prepare you for whatever that day has in store.
Right. It's like what you said earlier, too, just to be alert, right? Just to help.
Yeah, right. You're
trying to coach us, Father, like he said in the book.
Yeah, right.
Just like a good defensive or offensive player would do. Father, can you explain the importance of abandoning our lives to God? How does one actually do that?
Abandoning your life to God. Well, to abandon oneself to God is really an act of trust. The word abandonment often has a very negative type of connotation to it. You know, it's like I'm leaving somebody alone that I should be present to, right? To abandon. But this is a different sense of the word abandon. It means to leave behind my own way of controlling my life and giving it over to God intentionally. That is, I surrender control. Maybe surrender is a better word, but I surrender control of my life over to God. And I try to stop managing everything on my own and getting angry in the process, because that's often what happens. You become a very angry man when you try to control everything, try to control the outcomes of every situation and make sure everything goes right and all of that. There's only so much we can do in this world to make things go right or to go our way. And we realize after a while that's it's so futile to do that. We're not here to do things our way. We're here to do God's will. And that's all through the Gospels, right? I do the will of him who sent me, our Lord says, and my food is to do the will of the Heavenly Father. So that's our life too. So how can I do that without totally abandoning my own ways of acting and surrendering my own life into his hands? I can't unless I do that. So back to your point, Paul, of beginning each day with that offering to God, beginning the day with prayer, what you're doing is really surrendering everything in advance into God's hands, which is so crucial to living a life of holiness. Just to give it all over to the Lord first thing and not to take it back and to trust him whatever happens. That's abandoning yourself into God's hands.
It sounds like that's the challenge, is not taking it back. That's the hard part.
Right. That's right. Exactly right. Especially in moments when it's difficult, right? I mean, like really challenging moments, you know, where it's like, okay, I need to trust God here, but I want to maneuver around his will or something like that, right? That's exactly when it's the most difficult. But it's in those moments where we really learn to lean on the Lord and not to lean on our own strength.
Father, how does God use our persistent faults to drive us towards sainthood?
That's a very good question, because it doesn't seem like it makes sense. St. Jose Maria says that we will always have faults, and that he says, I would almost say we need them. We need to be faulty and aware of our faultiness, because it motivates us not to get comfortable and not to just take it easy. When we see that we're still very faulty creatures, we should be motivated and driven to continue to overcome ourselves, and not just to do it on my own, but to depend and to cling to the Lord in all things. So my own experience of being faulty, of being weak and being a sinner, all of these experiences tell me, you don't have what it takes to be a saint, Father. That's what it's telling me. That's what it boils down to. You don't have what it takes, but God does. And if you lean on him, if you abandon yourself to him and cling to him, he will give you the strength to be humble and to be holy. So those faults that are kind of persistent, that dog us throughout our life, they may not be the same ones throughout life, but they're ones that really keep us anchored in the grace of God. Like, I'm always reminded that I can't do things on my own.
So Father, when you were doing all the research for your book and just learning about Jose Maria Escrivá and his life, was there anything that just kind of surprised you or kind of jumped out at you that you,
in the course of the research? Yeah, so I have to say the research, quote unquote, it's taken place over like 15 years.
Oh, wow.
But I want to be careful when I say that. That is, I've had an interest in St. Jose Maria for, you know, as many years as that, since I was ordained. And even before I was ordained, I had a great interest in him. So I've been reading his works and watching videos of him for a long time. And I've been writing articles for the St. Jose Maria Institute blog for a good 10 years. So I'm very acquainted with him as a man and as a spiritual master. So that aspect of things has kind of been in place for a while. But what really does jump out at me is how human he is. That is, he really does understand our faults, and he speaks of his own faults very freely. One thing that he says that I always tell people about when I give retreats, he says, "I am capable of doing the most horrible things you can imagine. I'm capable of every error. I'm capable of every sin. I am capable of doing the worst evils imaginable. I have to believe that about myself, because otherwise Christ's redemption is not going to mean very much to me unless I recognize that he saved me from all that," right? And right. When he speaks in that way, I think this is a man who understands the spiritual life. He understands himself as a weak man and as a sinner and the power of God's grace. So that to me is one of the most startling insights, because a lot of people, and you know, a lot of people, I'll say myself as well, we have a hard time saying I could do anything bad. You know, it's almost like, well, I would never do that. I'd never do that. How do you know? You know, really, how on earth do you know? What if the opportunity came? You know, or whatever. We don't know. We of course can grow in virtue, and that makes it easier to do good. But we can't depend on our own strength and say, you know, I would never do that, never do this. That isn't how it works. It's by the grace of God, I am what I am, says a very important man, right? By the grace of God, I am what I am. If I really believe that, then, you know, there are consequences to that belief. It means that I'm capable of doing a lot of stuff that's pretty rotten.
I love that expression, there go I, but for the grace of God, for
sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that also helps to keep us from making unholy judgments about others. You know,
right.
we can make judgments about external behavior only, but about the interior part, that's up to God. That isn't ours to make a judgment about.
Right. Well, Father, I know you've written other books, and I've been on your retreats. My wife and I really enjoyed the retreat we went on with you last year. Are there any other projects that you'd like to share that you're working on, or how do people keep up on your books and your retreats and your activities?
Well, the retreats I do kind of ad hoc. I don't, you know, I do a lot of them at Sacred Heart Retreat House in Alhambra with the Carmelite sisters. Whether I'm there or not, it's a great place to make a retreat. So if you're looking for a place to make a retreat, go to Sacred Heart Retreat House. We have retreats here also every weekend, but they're not ones that you stay over for normally. I and all of the books I've published, which are just a handful, are available through Scepter Publishers, and that's S-C-E-P-T-E-R. And it's an Opus Dei publishing house. And I've published a few books over the last few years. And this, I've used St. Jose Maria in all of the books in some way. And this is the first one that's focused exclusively on him. And then, as I say, I've written probably 100 articles or more for the St. Jose Maria Institute. So if you look up stjosemaria.org, that's stjosemaria.org, and you put in my name on the website, you'll find any number of articles. But they're mainly, I won't say they're like informational articles, they're more meditations. That's all there. And otherwise, the books are available through Scepter Publishers.
Okay, great. And we'll put that in the show notes with all the links for all those that you mentioned.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And any future projects you want to share, or what you can share?
No, right now I've kind of adopted a policy that I will publish books or write books on request. So when the publisher wants a new title, and they think I'm a good fit for it, then I'll do it. That's how I did it with this last project. They asked if I could do a Coach to Buy book, and they didn't specify Jose Maria Escrivá. So I thought immediately, that's the saint I want to choose. He's the easiest choice because of his temperament, personality, his spirituality. It was just like, it was easy. So it didn't take me that long to write it. Even though, as I said, it took me like 15 years to prepare it in a way.
Father, as we close, is there anything that you would like to add?
Well, just going off of the spirituality of Saint Jose Maria, I would say every Christian needs to have a serious program for holiness in this life. We need to have an organized approach to the spiritual life. We can't be haphazard. And a lot of people who do evil in this world are very well organized, right? There's a machinery out there that's very, very well oiled and organized and capable of accomplishing a lot of bad things. You know, you can look at the former Soviet Union, and it's a marvel of evil. You know, the amount of harm and destruction that they were able to accomplish in a very organized way. Well, Christians individually, we need to be highly organized. St. Jose Maria referred to Opus Dei as a mobilization of Christians, which is a military term, right? A mobilization. So that requires organization, intentionality, a program of life. And we really can't become saints without all of that. So the book that I wrote is a help in that direction, you know, to have a certain sense of, I need to have a consistent prayer life, a consistent ascetical life, consistent spiritual reading every day. I need to be doing this every day, just like exercise. You know, I don't exercise monthly. So many times a week, you know, and if people can commit themselves to exercise, they can say a rosary every day, and they can do other things too, right? It's just a matter of putting your heart into it. Because remember what our Lord says, and I'll close with this, your heart and your treasure are in the same place. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be, right? So that's the question we have to ask ourselves. What is my treasure? Because that says everything about my heart.
Right.
Amen.
Which is where we're spending our time in Lent.
Right, right.
What is our treasure?
And that's the question that when we're doing penance every day, we really have to ask ourselves that, like, you know, when I'm not eating as much, or I'm praying more, or I'm not looking at things online, or whatever practices we have, we have to confront that aspect of ourselves. Well, what do I really want? What are my priorities?
Well, thank you so much, Father John Henry.
Thank you, Paul.
Would you mind leading us in a closing prayer or blessing for all of our listeners?
I will do both. Let's say a glory be, and then I will give a blessing for one and all. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was.
It was in the beginning.
Is now.
And ever shall be.
World
without end. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with your spirit.
Through the intercession of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, of Saint Joseph, and of Saint Michael the Archangel, may God in his mercy bless all of you listening to this podcast and your families and those who are suffering especially, that the Lord in his mercy may give his strength and his grace to all of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Father.
Thank you,
Father John Henry Hansen with St. Michael's Abbey. And the book is called Coached by Jose Maria Escrivá, and it's available through Scepter Publishers. So,
also through Amazon, in case anybody prefers to get things through Amazon.
excellent. Okay. Thank you for adding that.
Thank you so much, Paul and Randy. God bless you.